Okay, let's go. So this is the lightning talk about Poplar, the PDF random library. This is me. I'm a KD veteran. I've been doing KD things since 2003. Relevant to this talk, I started contributing in KPDF, which is now called Ocular, which is the document viewer for KD, but yeah, I also do lots of other things. About Poplar, I started contributing to it in 2005, so that's 20 years ago, and I'm the maintainer since 2008. And now you're here, like, what is Poplar? Okay, so it was on the title of the talk. It's a PDF rendering library, right? It's written in C++. You might like it, you might like not, but it's how it is. We're not gonna change it, right? It's been there for too long. It's a fork of XPDF. We will talk about what that means in the next slides, but yeah, we forked, and we forked because it's free software, right? So being free software allowed you to do forking. Is it good, is it not? We will talk about it. It's GPL 2 and 3, right? It's not LGPL, so if you want to link it to non-free software, don't do that. It's also hosted in Free Desktop. Is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. But if you go to Free Desktop nowadays, they have a big banner saying we're running out of servers. We need money, right? So if you have lots of money, I think their estimate was in the tens of thousands of dollars a month, which seems very high to me. But if you had that amount of money, please go to the Free Desktop people and tell them you have it. If you have servers, maybe that also helps. Poplar is also a weird name. I don't know if you follow Futurama or not. There is a episode in Futurama which it's called The Problem of the Poplars, which is are these very small things. I don't remember how it goes, but like I think they eat them without realizing they're actually like sentient beings or whatever. We haven't been sued by whoever holds the copyright of Futurama yet. I hope they don't do that. Yeah, anyhow. What Poplar is not, right? Poplar is not an editing or creation library for PDFs, right? So if you want something that will get the input of your form and produce a PDF, that's not what you want Poplar for, right? You can probably make it do that, but it will be painful. Right, so don't do that. Right? But we have small editing capabilities, like you can add annotations, or you can add a signature, or you can add like small things on top of it, right? Like the things you would do from a viewer, right? But not the creation part of it. It's also not a complete implementation of the PDF specification/standard. I don't know if any of you have read it, but it's like thousands lines long, and then like three or four more documents which are also like 4,000 lines long, right? Like, oh, and then there's the fonts part. Oh yeah, the fonts are specified here, and like, oh, right? So it's, we would like it to be a complete implementation of the PDF specification. We don't have the time, resources, money to do it, right? It's not that it's not on purpose, it's just that it happens not to be. Okay, so why did we fork, right? Why did we fork back in 2003, right, or 5, I don't know, back then. So XPDF is free software or open source, well, call it what you want, but the development itself is not open, right? So the person that does development of XPDF does not accept patches because they also sell XPDF as part of like a commercial thingy, right? So they want to control the whole copyright of the code so they can sell it. So they don't accept patches. It's not a library either, right? So it just creates binaries, like the binary for XPDF. So it makes it hard for you to work it with, right? Back in the day with KPDF, what we used to do is that we had the whole code of XPDF copied inside KPDF, right? And we did that, and the GNOME people did that, and Coops did that, and everybody did that, right? And we ended up with like 10 copies of the code everywhere, and then the third point appeared, right? PDF is hard, PDF is a mess. The person that designed PDF Like, it was designed very long time ago, and people didn't think about people being evil, right? Like, nowadays, everyone tries to break your things, right? Like things that people thought in the 30 years ago, like, no, people are going to be nice, so that there's no need to protect about things, right? Everything in PDF is a tree. Things you can do with a tree is do loops, right? So, like, yeah, you can say, this references this, and this references this, and then suddenly your parser is, like, there forever, right? So we have lots of security issues, right? It's very easy. Like, if you pass Poplar or XPDF, you will find a crash or an... I mean, we're getting better at it, but it is relatively easy. And 20 years ago, it was super easy to find security problems. So yeah, everybody having a copy of XPDF was not great. So we needed to come up with a solution. And also, XPDF, since I said the person that develops XPDF wants to sell it, so it's on purpose done not to have many dependencies. So it has its own JPEG decoder, it has its own PNG decoder, right? But there is this thing called libjpeg and libpng, which you can use, and they're probably better than the thing you coded on your own, right? So in Poplar, we decided, well, let's try to outsource as many things as we can. It will also help with the security issues, right? Those are the good parts of forking. The bad part of forking is that eventually you diverge too much, right? So we forked at the time of XPDF 3. They are now in XPDF 4. We can't merge the changes anymore, right? It's too hard. I mean, we could, but it's too hard. Anyhow, who uses Poplar? Lots of people, right? Everything on the Linux desktop that is not Firefox or Chromium or GoScript and uses PDFs in some way, it uses Poplar, right? So I went to Arch Linux and Gentoo and asked them, how many packages do you have that depend on Poplar? The number is around 75-80. So yeah, lots of people. How to use the library? I have to run a bit fast. I thought I would be slower. Anyhow, how to use the library? We have 4/3, because the Qt bindings are the same, public interfaces, right? So like those interfaces, we promise they will not change. Right, so you either use glib, which is C-based, or the Qt 5, Qt 6 bindings, which are C++/Qt oriented, or the CPP one, which is more agnostic. There's also a few non-official bindings for Python, Go, Ruby. I have no idea about those. I know they exist. People sometimes report us bugs, and I say, like, that's not me, right? Go somewhere else. We also have private headers. You can enable them with this CMake option called CMake unstable API headers, and the comment is unstable XPDF headers. And this is a promise, right? We will break you. We change these headers every release. Every release that changes here. If you want to use those, you can use them. I would prefer you didn't and you use one of the above. But if you want to use them, yeah, you know we will break you. Now, you can do a viewer in 10 lines, right? This is exactly 10 lines. I'm missing the includes, so it's a bit more than 10 lines. And it also only renders the first page, which is not very useful. This is cute, but the glib counterpart is very similar. You load the document, you get the first page, you render it to an image, and you paint the image, right? It's not very complicated. Obviously, if you want to do more things like annotations, signatures, blah, 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 you will need more code. But if you want to start, I think it's not super hard. Okay, development model. We do a monthly release, right? Actually, like on the first day of the month, which should be today. It's not going to happen. We will do it probably on Monday or something, following the year, month release numbering. Monthly release because, as said, there's usually some kind of security issue, so we try to get it as fast as you can, right? Distros don't like that. It's like, oh, no, again, you broke the API again. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but it's how it is. We do have CI running on Linux, Android, MingW, or whatever, how do you call that? And then some checkers, right? Clang Teidi and Clizy. We also have non-official CIs running on FreeBSD, Mac, and the Windows compiler. People sometimes send us patches saying, yeah, I need this small patch to make this compile in this my very obscure operating system. I usually tell them I don't want those patches because I cannot verify I will not break them tomorrow, right? If you give me a CI, I will accept your patch. If you don't give me a CI, you keep your patch, right? It's hard enough to make sure everything compiles in these ones, which we have CI for, to worry about the others. As I said, we also have some security thingies. I don't know if you know about OSS Fuzz. It's a fuzzing service run by Google. Kubernetes on our cloud, yeah, similar things. They're non-free, but yeah, I mean, you do what you can. We use GitLab for everything, right? For merge requests and issues. Last year, we had around 30 committers, and of those 30, six people sent more than 10 commits. So like you would say like those six people are the core contributors. But yeah, I mean, I think it's not a bad number for how niche slash hard doing PDF things are. So yeah, not complaining. How can you help? Report good bugs, but please make sure they don't exist already, right? There's the typical problem with bugs. Everybody creates one when there's two of them already for the same thing. Also, usually, like if you're having a problem with Ocular or with Evins, it might make sense to check if it's also happening on the command line tools we have, like PDF to Cairo or PDF to PPM or something. And then don't report the book about Ocular, because the Ocular people will say, well, you know, this is actually back in Poplar, or the Evins people will say something like, yeah, we don't do this. So yeah, that might help. Propose merge requests. Actually, the one I want more is like, if you have time, review merge requests, right? We have lots of stale merge requests. I do my best, but I have the time I have. So yeah, some of them are a bit stuck. And yeah, coming back to the money issue, if you have money for a server, that would be nice. Right now, I'm doing the regression testing in this laptop, right? It takes a few hours, and I worry at some point the CPU is going to burn. So if you have a server that can help us running the regression testing, that would be super appreciated. And that's me. There is no time for questions. If you have questions, you can come here and talk to me, maybe. So thank you for listening.